A61A, number 2B.
Again, with regard to the statement or to the reference we have been reading, a synonym may be used, here it is spirit in that statement, in combination with ideas characterizing other synonyms. Here in this case, power. Huh? You have the power of spirit. You have a synonym spirit used with an idea of mind, which is power. In such cases, the ideas used are not intrinsically characteristic for the synonym used, so power is not characteristic for spirit. Is that clear? Let's take another quote, page 20. Line 19, there you have the power of truth. Now read the sentence and let's see how we can interpret that. The power of truth. Somebody else than the old hands? Yes?
Error is the opposite of truth.
Because error is the opposite of truth. Huh? So you can correct error not through mind. You correct error through truth. And if you want to bring out that truth has power over error, you have to say power of truth to correct error. You see? So you have here a combination really of truth with an idea of mind. Let's take another one, a bit different. 285. 285. We read there from line 27, perhaps together, that it goes quicker. As mortal reach through knowledge of Christian Science a higher sense, they will seek to learn not from matter, but from the divine principle God, how to demonstrate the Christ truth as the healing and saving power. Well, is now here mind the healing power? Or why not the mind the healing power? Why now truth is characterized by power? Why? Come on, afterwards you have to study them by the hundreds. Come on. My word, these are the kindergarten fundamentals. Yes, she's talking about the saving Christ. Huh? The moment she talks about the saving Christ, that is naturally a tone of truth, huh? Not of mind. Huh? Can you see here, you don't have an opposite. You have, again, a different category. Huh? It is not an opposite of truth that is handled here. And yet, she uses Christ's truth, huh? And attributes to Christ's truth power because of what? Because of saving, huh? Because of the Christ Savior. Huh? So you have not an opposite. Can you see that? So you can't just rely, is there an opposite or not, in order to define which synonymous term has to be used. Therefore, we come really to a very important point in the whole study of Christian Science. how the textbook is written. The textbook is not written from the point of the synonymous terms. The textbook is written from the point of view of the problems treated in the text. And they define which synonymous term has to be used, and not the other way around. When she brings up the whole subject of what is the healing power, what is the healing agent, what is the saving mission, she says it's the Christ truth. She has to use that synonymous term, which is adapted to the subject stated in the text. Can you see that? It's the subject, and mostly, in most cases, the negative proposition, here a positive proposition, that demands which synonymous term has to be used. Up to now we had in the flesh the power of spirit, therefore flesh was dominant. Flesh was the dominant question. Has the flesh power? That's the dominant problem in the text. And so she has to give the answer to it, said, no, it's spirit, and that has power. Then we had error. Error. How can we deal with error? Through truth. So truth must have power. Here you have the question, what is saving? The Christ is saving. So it's the power of the Christ, truth, that is saving. And this is what you have to feel in the text. That in the text, mostly because it is the Christian Science problematics, she has to deal with humanity, with materiality, with the erroneous belief, with all that. She has to handle all those questions, how to deal with the wrong situation, with wrong problems. And so the wrong problem dictates the use of the right synonymous terms, as you have seen here. It is the power of spirit over the flesh. It is the power of life over death. It's the power of truth over error. Or let's take another one, 224. This is now a quite an interesting one. Let's read from 28 to 31. Each one reads that. To power, sorry. All right. Now here you have again power. Isn't there love characterized through power? Why love? Why not mind? Why didn't you say, no power can withstand divine mind?
You're not talking about the power of any spirit, it's the opposite power.
Yes?
The power here does not relate to the synonym at all.
Yes? It's not related to the synonym? By implication, yes. Huh? Because it says, no power can withstand divine love. That means that love has a power. I mean, by implication, it says so. If no power can withstand love, that means that apparently love is much a bigger power. Well, they could withstand it. They would not even have an opposition. But why doesn't she say mind? If mind is all power. Love is the liberator. Deliver, isn't truth? Truth brings the element of liberty, she says. You hear? Truth is the element of liberty. You would expect that you would say, truth is that power that cannot be, how is that, withstood, huh, by any power. She speaks about truth, brings the element of liberty. Slavery is abolished. The power of God brings deliverance. Again, the Christ truth, the saving power. Why does she not say no power can withstand divine truth? Does she say that love has compassion? Be right, that yes, yes. And now, now listen. Now we do something. Now we go through the synonyms, and you just listen. Which one of the synonyms would ring true without, just by listening to your spiritual sense, which naturally is not the scientific analysis, but it helps. Would you feel really happy, tonality-wise, no power can withstand divine mind? No power could withstand spirit. Would it ring true? Not quite, huh? No power can withstand soul. No power can withstand principle. Perhaps, huh? No power can withstand life. No power can withstand truth. No power can withstand love. Huh? Sum total. That's sum total. That's the no. Huh? You see, we have that very, again, you see, the same rule. It is actually the problem that demands the right synonym. Here it is the no. No power. It isn't no power. Huh? It's no power. It's that absolute all or nothing, huh? Which we always have in love. The moment you come to that all or nothing, not to the liberator, the all or nothing, huh? Then you have love. Because for love, there is nothing else. Therefore, if she would have said, no power can withstand truth, somehow you would have felt this is not right, huh? Because it's absolutely inclusive and exclusive. It's all-embracing and all-excluding. Huh? That little term no defines love. Huh? That there is nothing in the all-embraced love that can be there, which is not of the nature of God. All right. You see, therefore, it isn't so easy as we think. It needs quite a lot of spiritual sense and tonality and listening and hearing. Therefore, you will feel that when you go through these references, that you will meet a lot of references where you don't find a verification of our list of ideas at first glance. And these will be the references that are really the most interesting ones for the culturing of the tone, because they all show the combinations, and that is what really then is necessary. So let's have as a rule 11. Rule 11. The big rule, a big rule, namely, the problem stated in a sentence. Determines which synonym must be used. You see, here the problem is, isn't there any power that could just to say withstand God? And when you say, no, absolutely excluded, no other power, then you have to say, oh my word, then it is love, huh? Then God is love. You are not asking here, what is the nature of love? Or what is the nature of mind? You ask here, is there a power? Is there anywhere a power that could withstand God? And you say, no, nothing doing, absolutely impossible. If you have that absolute impossibility, you meet it with love. So, whenever at first when you go through mind, you will not notice them, because you don't know anything except mind. But then when you come to spirit, the trouble begins. Because in spirit, you already begin to feel there are ideas used with spirit that you have already found in mind. You see? Therefore you can say, well, either they belong then to all the synonyms, or they may be combinations. Did I put the situation clear? Yeah? So, it takes a while to go right through these references and again, and then by sorting out, we really get to the pure tonality of the synonyms. We forgot to write down one rule. Let's take rule 12. We have said, before we write it down, I just want to remind the problem that we have said we had in our list, which we have taken out from mind. We had divine, infinite, and then we said they may appear now when you go through spirit and soul, appear again and again and again. Therefore, they must be eliminated if they are not combinations. So, and why must they be eliminated? Because they are those qualities which make the synonyms synonym or synonymous. So, rule 12, because the synonyms are synonymous. There are ideas which are characteristic for all synonyms and must therefore not be listed. For instance, divine, infinite, etc. Do you begin to realize what work we have been doing? That it has taken us years and years to go through that textbook, to go through those 3,000 references a few dozen times. You know what work is implied in it? To eliminate and eliminate, to polish and to polish and to polish. Alone in these findings of the compendiums, there is a work of many, many years invested in it. Many, many years. We have put a lot into it. And now you begin to realize that you have taken our teaching for granted and actually wouldn't be able perhaps to prove it from the text. And now you are going to learn to prove it. And then you know that it is not our teaching, but that it is the textbook's teaching. Therefore, another rule must be hated. We just can't live with 12, or we have the holy number. It's nice to have 13. It's nice number, 13. The rule is this. When this study is done for the first time, the findings can only be approximately right. Let's say correct. Can only be approximately correct. Full stop. With every further research, wrong findings can be weeded out step by step. Finally, you have it. All right. Now, with these rules, I think you should be well equipped already to make quite a good and comprehensive investigation of the references. There will be many references where you don't see the reason for it. Make a list of them. For the next, those who attend next year's class, make a list of them. All those references where you don't find a reason for it, which may indicate that our findings are wrong, that they do not verify the findings, and then we'll discuss them. Well, that's that.